Our trip through Portugal began in Lisbon, and to arrive at twilight was unforgettable. When darkness falls, the fados, haunting songs so typical of Portugal, tell their poignant story. The morning light revealed one of the world's most beautiful cities, spreading gracefully over a series of hills that dip down to the Tagus River. Lisbon's romance and history of yesterday are reflected in the ancient Tower of Belém, the church and monastery of Geronimus, and the impressive Discoverer's Monument, dedicated to Prince Henry the Navigator, who brought about some of the world's greatest explorations. Among the important landmarks devoted to Portugal's past, we found Black Horse Square a splendid setting for the parades of the present. Along with the historical places of interest to see, Lisbon's air of gaiety and glamour is accented by the many sidewalk cafes scattered throughout the city. Although Lisbon is a large cosmopolitan city with a population of 1 million, the charm and graciousness of its people give it all the warmth and friendliness of a small town. The most exciting time of the year is the holiday dedicated to Saint Anthony, the patron saint of Lisbon, and the oldest section of the city, known as the Alfama, reflects the festive mood. For the celebration, the maze of its narrow streets are all ablaze with brightness and color. Here everyone is caught up in the infectious spirit, and dancing in the streets goes on from early morning all through the day and long into the night of St. Anthony's Eve. The next day is St. Anthony's Day, and since he's also known as the marrying saint, what an appropriate time for a wedding. Here comes the bride, and another. The grand total in this wedding is 61 brides in all. The annual wedding is a gift from the city, with the brides being given their gowns and trousseaus. Also, local businessmen for this occasion provide each bride with her own chauffeur-driven limousine. The couples must have known each other for more than a year and have applied last St. Anthony's Day in order to be married this year. This was the largest number of couples ever to be married in the history of the ceremony, which I'm sure accounts for the largest wedding portrait ever taken. Later that day, we waited for our limousine to be delivered. Having thoroughly enjoyed ourselves exploring Lisbon, the time had come to continue on to see more of the country. Once all our baggage and paraphernalia were packed in the car, we'd be on our way. But that seems more easily said than done. Obviously, he's an optimist, but with all this still to go in, it will take more than optimism. He assured us this could be easily rectified. We had our doubts, but waited to see. Well, this ought to do it, and it did. We drove out of town to what could be called the Riviera of Portugal. One of the most interesting beaches of all we found at Nazaré, a fishing town of unique character. Almost 4,000 years ago, Phoenician ships landed here, and today Nazaré still bears the mark of those early seafarers. The main street offers some unexpected features. Here, even the women's routine chore of putting the fish out to dry creates a tapestry of color and design. When the men return from the sea, a new tempo takes over. This group of fishermen is headed by Silvino. Since he owns the boat and employs the crew, he is called master of the nets. Oxen play an important role in Nazaré, and with their help, the boat is drawn up on the beach. Then Silvino and his crew, as well as his family and friends, all join in the task of pulling in the fish-laden nets. With the work completed, Silvino takes a few moments to relax with his family. They share with him the life of the beach, for in Nazaré, all work and social activities center along the water. Their clothing is most unusual, one reason being they have no pockets. So their stocking caps are not only hats, but are quite like a woman's handbag. Perhaps this is where the saying, "Keep this under your hat," originated. They're in Congress plaids, were said to have been brought here by Scottish troops during the Napoleonic Wars. It was fascinating to visit the people of Nazaré and to find their ways have changed so little over the centuries. We drove on to Coimbra, a city crowned by its 13th century university, which is the first seat of learning in the country, as well as being one of the most important universities in Europe. Here we found the students have some customs that are most original. For instance, the ribbons they carry tell at a glance their class and the subject they are majoring in. The short yellow ribbons these students have indicate they are juniors in the School of Medicine. Red and long denote seniors in the study of law. And these girls are seniors in science. Another custom concerns the capes the boys wear, with the fringe on the bottom that tells quite a story. When a boy and girl kiss, she is given the dubious honor of making a tear in his cape. What a sly way to kiss and tell. Football's a popular sport, only here the opposing team is a bull. On this play, it's Coimbra's ball with the bull fast gaining. Every spring, this amazing football game takes place, along with one of the most extraordinary sports of all. The object of the game is for the boys to bring the bull to a complete standstill. They are rarely hurt, as the lead boy knows just how to land between the horns. The rest join in to bring the indignant bull to a halt. The next event was billed as the Twist of the Ballerinas, or as the program said, bottoms up. After the fun in Coimbra, we went in quest of the inns we had heard so much about called Pousadas. And cradled within the medieval town of Óbidos, we discovered the inn to be, of all things, a castle. Here we were magically transported back to the 12th century, when kings of yore occupied its royal rooms, which have now been remodeled into charming accommodations for the guests. We felt we could remain here forever, but due to the extreme popularity of the Pousadas, one can stay only a maximum of 5 days in each, so we continued on to others. Scattered throughout the country, each Pousada is distinctive in mood and architecture, although one thing is always uniform, the low price of less than $4 a day for everything. The most outstanding one is dramatically located 7 miles at sea on the rocky island of Berlenga. Here, this isolated old monastery fortress has been ingeniously converted into another enchanting Pousada. Surrounded by the sea, the views are wonderful, and this view is no exception. Well, except for one thing, it's from our own Pousada. The vast stretches of deserted beach provided a perfect place for setting up what we called our portable Pousada. Complete with icebox, stove, closets, beds, everything needed for light housekeeping, the camper added another enjoyable as well as most convenient feature to our trip through Portugal. With over 500 miles of coast, this small country has some of the most beautiful beaches to be found in all of Europe. The sea has always provided Portugal with a richness of life, and one of its bounties is the kelp gathered by these men wearing an unusual form of dress. As the early Romans were here for many centuries, this could account for the Romanesque tunics still being worn today. Graceful boats are another means of gathering kelp. On both the prow and the stern, there are gay decorations depicting scenes from everyday life, making them what could be called floating galleries of folk art. Color and drama accompany the sardine fishermen's activities as they set forth to take their share from the sea. The most exciting form of fishing takes place 5 miles off the coast, where the giant tuna are caught. Here, a complex series of nets have been laid far below the surface in which the unsuspecting fish are trapped. And as the fishermen pull in the heavy nets, the rhythmic pulse of their primitive chant rings out over the water. The men pull the nets for over an hour, which draws their boats closer together and at the same time brings the captured tuna near the surface. The fish weigh anywhere from 500 to 700 pounds and are over 6 feet in length. And as their moment of truth arrives, a tense excitement takes over. The most spectacular part is when the men get right into the water to combat the fish by hand. These silver giants of the sea fight furiously and have been known to break a man's back or even kill him with a single blow from the tail. So the men are risking their lives in this battle of the deep. May through August, the chants of the fishermen can be heard from dawn to dusk, as they enact one of mankind's oldest and most thrilling dramas of the sea. Flourishing along the Douro River are the sun-splashed vineyards. This is the only region that yields the special grapes used in producing port wine, so famous to Portugal. Following the river, we came to Porto. This is the second largest, as well as the oldest city of the country, and is most renowned for being the home of port wine. Not only did Porto give the wine its name, but also the entire country is named after this lively metropolis. Although there was little room to spare, our 20th century car did make it through the 12th century gateway into the medieval town of Braganza. Here, an aura of antiquity prevailed with little changed over the centuries, and predating the ancient town itself, a strange dance was being performed in celebration of a plentiful harvest. Another dance for another occasion. It seems the Portuguese take every opportunity to celebrate, and this is in anticipation of a wedding. We were invited to attend the traditional ceremony that united this young couple, but were surprised to find one very untraditional note. The bride wore black. Along with the unusual wedding gown, the brides here are bedecked with ornate gold jewelry. Instead of putting their money in the bank, the women put it into gold, which in turn they put around their necks. What a treasure chest! Maria's collection has been handed down in her family for generations. Having been invited to their wedding, we invited them to what we jokingly called the mansion. And since it was a nice day, we all stayed out on the veranda drinking a toast to the newlyweds. What a setting for a wedding reception! We were in quite a hurry, as were others, and for good reason. Close behind, the Campinos, who were the cowboys of the country, were galloping into the town of Santarém for their annual fair. Hundreds of them have gathered from the many ranches to exhibit the skills that are part of a cowboy's life. Awards are given to the Campinos who excel in the various contests, so the ranchers have sent their very best men. After the fair, this Campino is welcomed home by Jose Rodriguez, owner of one of the largest ranches. Here in this vast plain area, he specializes in raising not only horses, but fine fighting bulls as well. Jose is also a cavalero, the name given to the men of Portugal who fight the bulls for magnificently trained horses. These free moments with his wife and children are a happy treat for all of them. Being a leading cavalero, much of his time is spent away from home, appearing not only in the bull rings of Portugal, but also those of Spain and Brazil. Little Lisbeth often accompanies her father to see the bulls, which fascinate her. Jose explains, though, that they aren't like her gentle donkey, and she must never get close to them, but keep a good distance away. A highlight is when Jose, on his horse named Yankee, practices in his private ring. It takes great skill and dedicated work to train a horse in the artistic style of the Portuguese bullfight. During the season, Jose practices 5 hours a day with Yankee, carefully putting him through his turns and paces. A vital part of the training is getting the horse accustomed to a bull, as they're afraid of them. Jose now practices making passes by touching the young bull's neck with a blunt pole. This sport originated when man fought war from horseback, and in order to keep himself and his steed in top form for combat, he trained in this manner. The most stirring spectacle is seen in the big ring. Escorted by this procession of pomp and pageantry, the cavaleros step from their royal coach to greet the presiding officials and enthusiastic audience. The carriages and costumes of this colorful cortege all date from the 17th century. The Portuguese bullfight is different from others, as it's against the law to kill the bull. Also, his horns are covered with a heavy leather padding, which in turn protects the horse. The cavalero must place small darts on the insensitive part of the bull's neck and at the same time keep his horse clear of the charging beast. Sometimes when the bull gets unnervingly near the horse, a cape man leaps in to divert him, but not for long. After the final pass of the afternoon, cows lead the furious bull docilely out of the ring, with nothing hurt but his ego. After the excitement of the bullfight, we relaxed a bit before continuing on. Driving along, we noticed that the women carry almost everything on their heads, from the more expected to the completely unexpected. But the most remarkable sight of all was this. These elaborate towers are the main attraction of the Festival of the Trays, which takes place only once every 4 years. Here in the usually tranquil town of Tomar, thousands have gathered from all parts of Europe for the event. Made of paper flowers interspersed with loaves of freshly baked bread, each tray weighs 30 pounds and must be as tall as the girl who carries it. Every girl is accompanied by a boy to help her should her tray fall, and together they parade all through town. This procession originated in pagan times, for when the Romans were here 2,000 years ago, it was already a custom. Everyone watches in wide-eyed wonder. The curious cortege files into the main square after 4 hours of balancing their beautiful burdens. Still topped by their towering trays, they bring to an end this extraordinary pageant, the final topping to a trip through Portugal with pleasure all the way.
Room tone, start.
How does men feel?
Blast off time is here.
Just give it a minute or so. I'm going to put some tone and things on it.
Okay. The morning light revealed one of the world's most beautiful cities, spreading gracefully over a series of hills that dip down to the Tagus River. Repeat page one. Along with the historical places of... repeat page one. Perhaps this is where the saying, keep this under your hat, originated. They're in Congress plaids, were said to have been brought here by Scottish troops during the Napoleonic Wars. It was fascinating to visit the people of Nazaré and to find their ways have changed so little over the centuries. Repeat page three.
Going back to that, why don't you go back to their clothing is most unusual.
Okay.
My own purposes. Thank you.
I'd like to ask you a question. Would it be possible after a couple more pages, if she wants, to stop and rest?
Oh, yeah. Their clothing is most unusual, one reason being they have no pockets. So their stocking caps are not only hats, but are quite like a woman's handbag. Football's a popular sport, only here the opposing team is a bull. On this play, it's Coimbra's ball, with the bull fast gaining. Every spring, this amazing football game takes place, along with one of the most extraordinary sports of all. The object of the game is for the boys to bring the bull to a complete standstill. They are rarely hurt, as the lead boy knows just how to land between the horns. The rest join in to bring the indignant bull to a halt. The next event was billed as the twist of the ballerinas, or as the program said, bottoms up. The most outstanding one is dramatically located 7 miles at sea on the rocky island of Berlenga. Here, this isolated old monastery fort has been ingeniously converted into another enchanting posada. Repeat page 5. The most outstanding one is dramatically located 7 miles at sea on the rocky island of Berlenga. Here, this isolated old monastery fortress has been ingeniously converted into another enchanting posada. Surrounded by... Repeat page 5.
Go back to the same thing, the most outstanding.
All right. Surrounded by the sea, the views are wonderful. And this view is no exception. Well, except for one thing. It's from our own posada. The vast stretches of deserted beach provided a perfect place for setting up what we called our portable posada. Repeat page 5. The vast stretches. The vast stretches of deserted beach. All right. Surrounded by the sea, right. Mm-hmm. Repeat page 6.
We heard a hinge and a door slam that could carry into the tape.
I'll start top of page 6. Did I read that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You want to stop after the tuna?
No. I might. I probably will, but I'm okay now. Color and drama accompany the sardine fishing. Color and drama accompany the sardine fishermen's activities as they set forth to take their share from the sea. The most exciting form of fishing takes place 5 miles off the coast, where the giant tuna are caught. Here, a complex series of nets have been laid far below the surface in which the unsuspecting fish are trapped. And as the fishermen pull in the heavy... Repeat, page 6.
There's an awful lot of noise in here.
The men pull the nets for over an hour, which draws their boats closer together.
I've lost the word the men.
All right. Same. Okay. Along with the unusual wedding gown, the brides here are bedecked. Repeat page 7. Having been invited to their wedding, we invited them to what we jokingly called the mansion. And since it was a nice day, we all stayed out on the veranda drinking a toast to the newlyweds. Repeat, bottom of 7. What a setting for a wedding reception. Jose is also a caballero, the name given to the men of Portugal who fight the bulls for magnificently. Repeat page 8. Jose is also a caballero, the name given to the men of Portugal who fight the bulls from magnificently trained horses.
Wait, there are footsteps here.
But I wasn't reading. Repeat again.
No, that's all right.
Oh, I don't think you'll hear him.
Oh,
just go. Oh, fine. Repeat page 8. Little Lisbeth often accompanies her father to see the bulls, which fascinate her. Pardon me? Oh, all right, I'll take it again. No, Little Lisbeth. Little Lisbeth often accompanies her father to see the bulls, which fascinate her. Jose explains, though, that they aren't like her gentle donkey, and she must never get close to them, but keep a good distance away. A highlight is when Jose, repeat, bottom of 8. These elaborate towers, repeat page 10. After the fun in Coimbra, we went in quest of the inns we had heard so much about called Pousadas. And cradled within the medieval town of Obidos, we discovered the inn to be, of all things, a castle. Here we were magically transported back to the 12th century, when kings of yore occupied its royal rooms, which have now been remodeled into charming accommodations for the guests. We felt we could remain here forever, but due to the extreme popularity of the Pousadas, one can stay only a maximum of 5 days in each. So.
Sorry, I didn't get the word remain.
Oh, all right, wait, I better.
Don't hand me scripts.
Well, I couldn't, this has to continue, and I couldn't
see.
Do this.
Oh. All right, then I'll.
Here we were magically transported back to the 12th century when kings of yore occupied its royal rooms, which have now been. Repeat page 4. This switching the pages is upsetting me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you rather take it after the fun in Coimbra? Does it get you more into the mood of the whole phrase? Gee,
no.
My stomach's starting to growl. This is terrible.
Go back to the same place here?
Oh, I'll start after the fun. After the fun in Coimbra, the paragraph ahead of it. After the fun in Coimbra, we went in quest of the inns we had heard so much about called Pousadas. And cradled within the medieval town of Obidos, we discovered the inn to be, of all things, a castle. Although there was little room to spare, our 20th century car did make it through the 12th century gateway into the medieval town of Braganza. Here an aura of antiquity prevailed with little changed over the centuries, and predating the ancient town itself, a strange dance was being performed in celebration of a plentiful harvest.
I'd take that again.
Okay, repeat page 7. I'm going to start all of them.
Prevailed.
All right. Repeat, page 7. Although there was little room to spare, our 20th century car did make it through the 12th century gate. Right. Here an aura of antiquity prevailed with little changed over the centuries, and predating the ancient town itself, a strange dance was being performed in celebration of a plentiful harvest. No, I still didn't like that. I'm going to repeat again.
You said prevailed.
I know.
You ask him if it's prevailed. Isn't it prevailed?
Here
not
in
prevailed.
Orleans,
prevail.
Prevail,
yeah.
Prevail. I'm bringing out the pre
you're
too much.
Prevailed.
Yeah.
Prevail.
Yes. Although there was little room to spare, Our 20th century car did make it through the 12th century gateway into the medieval town of Braganza. Here an aura of antiquity prevailed with little changed over the centuries, and predating the ancient town itself, a strange dance was being performed in celebration of a plentiful harvest. Another dance? Repeat page 7. Another dance for another occasion. It seems the Portuguese take almost every opportunity to celebrate, and this is in anticipation of a wedding. We were invited to attend the traditional ceremony that united this young couple, but were surprised to find one very untraditional note: the bride wore black. Although there was little room to spare, our 20th century car did make it through the 12th century gateway into the medieval town of Braganza. This sport originated when man fought war from horseback, and in order to keep himself and his steed in top form for combat, repeat page 9. He trained in this manner. Repeat again, page 9. Jose now practices making passes by touching the young bull's neck with a blunt pole. This sport originated when man fought war from horseback.
Okay, this is reel 2, and we're on top of page, we're about at the bottom of page 9. Anytime you're ready.
The cavalero must place small darts on the insensitive part of the bull's neck, and at the same time keep his horse clear of the charging beast. Sometimes when the bull gets unnervingly near the horse, a cape man leaps in to divert him, but not for long. After the final pass of the afternoon, cows lead the furious bull docilely out of the ring, with nothing hurt but his ego. After the excitement of the bullfight, we relaxed a bit before continuing on. Repeat top of page 10.
Yeah, it's not cute, you know.
Excuse me, if you're going to repeat it there, I would prefer, if you don't mind, going back to the preceding sentence. There was something in there I wasn't too happy about.
All right.
Always tell us if you think that.
Well, no, it was passable. Actually, it wasn't anything to stop on, but inasmuch that you did stop, we can go back.
Fine.
To
after the final pass of the afternoon?
Sometimes when the bull...
Oh, all right. Sometimes when the...
I'm sorry. Don't bring out the word but so much. But, not that, the but. It's but not, but, not for long is the thing.
All right. Everyone watches in wide-eyed wonder. Repeat that. This procession originated in pagan times, for when the Romans were here 2,000 years ago, it was already a custom. Still topped by their towering trays, they bring to an end this extraordinary pageant. The final topping to a trip through Portugal with pleasure all the way.
Try it again just for the heck of it. We
repeat the last.
We might use the other one and we might use this one.
Repeat the end of page 10. Driving along, we noticed that the women